Welcome back, everyone. Thank you, Susan, for getting us started with the four divine abodes and with the metta upon which they are all based. Each facet is a heart quality. It's all one heart, but there's a slightly different angle for each Brahma Vihara. And I'm going to continue now with the third Brahma Vihara, mudita in Pali, which means the heart's capacity for joy. It actually means gladness in Pali. And you can tell from what Susan has already shared that there is gladness in metta, and there's even gladness in compassion. And now we come to mudita, which is primarily gladness. And sometimes it's described as being sympathetic joy, which emphasizes the aspect of joy where you feel connected to another person's joy or another being's joy, or appreciative joy, which tends to be more a quality of being able to open to joy in your life, just feeling joy. And then there's some people talk about altruistic joy, which is the kind of joy that is like bodhicitta joy, joy in way beyond ourselves. So I'm going to talk mostly about sympathetic joy that we get when we share the joy that someone else's joy, and appreciative joy, the joy that we find just in our daily lives, our connection to joy. Joy, mudita, involves the ego loosening its grip on what it thinks it needs to be happy, and opening to the joy that is present in every moment, and especially to sharing joy with other beings, the joy that other beings are feeling. We're sharing that. One easy example, which may be familiar for many of us, is the spontaneous feeling of joy that arises when we watch maybe a puppy playing, or a little kitten, or a baby breaks into a smile or starts giggling. It's very hard not to be touched by that. It seems like their joy is contagious, but sometimes joy is not so easy to open to. Some say, in fact, that mudita is the hardest Brahma Vihara to develop because it can intersect with our feelings of scarcity, not having enough or not being enough. When a sibling or a friend or a colleague is praised for an accomplishment, or acquire something that we don't have but we would like to have, we can feel resentment instead of joy. Resentment is called the far enemy of mudita, because it's very easy to see that when we're feeling resentment, envy, jealousy, the heart quality of mudita is missing. It's not very joyful to feel that feeling. We live in a society which stresses competition, and our comparing mind is highly developed. We compare ourselves to others and judge ourselves when we don't measure up. It can be hard to celebrate another's happiness when we're feeling less. It's hard when the other person has the thing we know will make us happy. It's as though we think there's less to go around. And we don't realize that really it's the judging, the comparing, the competing that are causing our unhappiness and making us vulnerable to envy. Instead of this joy in these instances of another person being contagious, as was the case with the puppy and the baby, the other's joy in this case feels threatening. And the reason is that our mind gets filled with considerations of comparison of who we are. And we're not really in competition usually with babies and puppies, but somebody like us and somebody who's going to our school or is in our family or is in our work situation, it's very easy to use them as a measuring stick. And we're looking at others to define ourselves, which leads to insecurity and lots of self-doubt. Or another reason that we can't feel joy might be that we're working so hard to become. We're so focused on ourselves and trying to be accepted and do what we think we need to do that we don't have time to have space in our heads for joy, because we're just really, you know, I got to do this. I got to get this done. And we have responsibilities. And it's very easy to say, well, I've just got to, you know, this is my focus. And then we don't have any time for joy. We don't have time to relax. We don't have time to let up. And so there's an undercurrent of missing out on joy and kind of resentment when somebody else is happy. Why are they happy? I've got to work. I have all these responsibilities. So, mudita is not the easiest brahmavihara to experience, but it is really valuable. In the 10% Happier podcasts that we have put on the website as resources, our co-guiding teacher, Tweri, has a talk on mudita. And it's really fun to listen to it, because Tweri talks about how she does open up to sympathetic joy in the happiness of others. And she calls it borrowing joy. Just as it is the nature of the heart to tremble and quiver, as Susan talked about, in the presence of another's suffering, it really is also in our nature to be stirred with gladness at another's happiness. The way Tweri describes it is that she said, you know, we all recognize that life is filled with the eight worldly winds. There's ups and downs and conditions that we can't control. So at one point there's pain, another point there's pleasure, another point there's gain, another point there's loss, and we can't control this. But so we realize we're not going to have joy all the time. But Tweri says we can improve our situation and help weather the stormy times by borrowing the joy of our family, our friends, and even from strangers that we meet by chance. She says, so if I share in their joy and they share in mine, then I can feel joyous at any moment, in any second, at any time. It's not limited to my circumstances. It's limited to my willingness to turn towards the joy of another and borrow theirs. So I think that's a pretty joyful attitude towards joy myself. But Tweri brings up an important point, and that is that we need to have an intention to open to joy, to know that it is possible and that we deserve to have it. This makes me think of the story of the Buddha and his experience as a child under the rose apple tree. Some of you probably know the story. At a most critical time in the Buddha's life, before he became enlightened, when he was close to death from starving himself as a consequence of his ascetic practices, which he was following to try to become enlightened, he paused and he asked himself, could there be another way to enlightenment? And immediately a memory sprang up from his childhood at that moment. And the sutta says that he said, I thought of a time when my Shakyan father, and Shakyan refers to the Shakya clan that his family belonged to, when my Shakyan father was working and I was sitting in the cool shade of a rose apple tree. And I've read another account of this that goes into greater detail. And it actually was springtime, festival time. It was a beautiful day. people, it was a festival. His extended family was all gathering, and he felt very happy and safe. He was a little farther away from them under this rose apple tree in the cool shade. And that actually was the first time he ever meditated, and he achieved the first state of jhana. But the pleasure, he says, quite secluded from sensual desires, secluded from unwholesome things, I had entered upon an abode in the first meditation, which is accompanied by thinking and exploring with a happiness and pleasure born of seclusion. So the truth of the matter is that this practice that we follow, the middle way, is born joy. It was the thing that saved the Buddha and opened to what really was the value and the route to awakening. And it was not sensual pleasure, but he realized that there was a deeper pleasure. Sensual pleasure people craved, or they ran away from, like he was doing when he was practicing asceticism. But he realized there was another joy. There was a deeper joy. And that was where we focus. So I think we need to remember this and not discount mudita and realize how valuable joy is and how important it is in our practice. So the Buddha thought to himself, way, and he came to the recognition that this was the way to enlightenment. He found the middle path that didn't grasp at sensory happiness or push away in fear. He was inspired by a middle way that realized a different kind of happiness that transcended both. A deep joy of presence that one didn't have to run away after or from. So we can actually follow this practice ourselves by looking and recognizing and being open to that kind of joy that's in our lives. And then it will open us to the joy of others too, because it's not the kind of joy you have to cling to. So let's see. So it's important for us to acknowledge that our life is rich in joy and not lacking. And it's easier for us then to be generous, and that includes to be generous in our goodwill towards others when they're joyful, and not resent them for it. There's another caution here, and that is that often with the Brahma Viharas, they're so wonderful that we think, oh, I should be this, and I should be that. And so we need to be careful that we can accept, if we are feeling a little resentful or envious, that's okay. Wow, that went fast. Okay, I'm going to, I need to go on to Upekkha, but I want to read this one poem about joy before we end. This is called The Word. Down near the bottom of the crossed out list of things you have to do today, between green thread and broccoli, you find that you have penciled sunlight. Resting on the page, the word is beautiful. It touches you as if you had a friend and sunlight were a present he had sent from someplace distant, as this morning, to cheer you up and to remind you that, among other duties, pleasure is a thing that also needs accomplishing. Do you remember that time and light are kinds of love, and love is no less practical than a coffee grinder or a safe spare tire? Tomorrow you may be utterly without a clue, but today you get a telegram from the heart in exile proclaiming that the kingdom still exists, the king and queen still alive, still speaking to their children, to anyone among them who can find the time to sit out in the sun and listen. So be on the outlook for messages from your heart. like the Buddha was at that turning point in his life, and remember that it's no small thing to send a message of sunlight to a friend or to a stranger. Equanimity. So equanimity is the fourth of the Brahma Viharas, and there are two Pali words associated with equanimity. One is used, that's used most, is upekkha, which means to look over, and it seems to describe the perspective that equanimity offers of seeing the bigger picture as if from a mountaintop. The other word is one I've never heard before, but the meaning is important. Tatra majahatata, which means centered in the middle of all that is happening. So it's both a larger perspective and it's a grounding, a centered in the middle. Equanimity gives balance to our experience, which leads to deep calm and peace. And the point that Roshi Joan Halifax made about equanimity is that it's like a grandmother's love, and she put her arms out like this. It can hold it all and still be upright. And the other image that I thought was really helpful for equanimity was embodying equanimity, which is having a strong back but a soft front. And the strong back is not rigid. And so at the same time in our body, we can feel the opposites of softness and strength, which is necessary for equanimity. So I got carried away with mudita. But in summary, metta is the heart of love turned towards the good qualities of ourselves or another being. And compassion is the heart of love turned towards suffering. Mudita is the heart of love turned towards the good fortune of others. And equanimity is the heart of love turned towards wisdom. That was by a teacher, not myself. So, the four wonderful qualities of the heart.
You have another minute.
What?
You have another minute.
I do? I thought it says here on my schedule 8:10.
Yeah, let's talk about that later.
Okay. All right. I have another minute. Great. Let's see if there's anything else I want to say. With equanimity, we have to accept that we cannot control the outcome. But in equanimity, with a strong back and a soft front, we can stay present and available for our next appropriate response as that comes into our understanding and emergence. Because we may not know ahead of time. We have to be present. And it's a great wisdom because it's based in non-reactivity. I often say this phrase, all beings are the owners of their actions. Their happiness and unhappiness depends upon their actions, not on my wishes for them. But I can send loving wishes. I just have to know they have their own journey and it's not mine. So it's again a holding. It's a holding of opposites of it all. Okay, so thank you for listening to the four Brahma Viharas. I hope that has been of some benefit to you.